Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Top Shelf Sports Talk. You're hanging out in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
We've always wanted to lean on young guys. Young guys play like anybody else. I've said this before. Young guys, old guys, it does not matter. It's who earns the right to play. Bottom line. So it's not that Sean McDermott has not played a young guy because he's been intentionally trying to keep a young guy over here. It is who earns the job. Because I'm not going to put a young guy out there or an old guy out there if their teammates don't trust them. Bottom line. So that's how we do it. 9 years of doing it. It ain't going to change.
Wow.
Yeah, Sean McDermott. Wow. He's really come to his own this offseason.
Sean McDermott going third person.
Did he? Did he really like?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe doing snow angels changed him. I don't know.
Yeah, I like that assertiveness.
It's not bad. It's not bad. Let's talk to Matt Parrino, who's there at Buffalo Bills mandatory minicamp in Orchard Park, joining us every Tuesday, Syracuse.com, to get his work. He is our ears and eyes at day one at mandatory minicamp, and I think you know, count me amongst the surprised to see that James Cook was there. At day one, Matt, were you surprised to see that James Cook was present?
Not one bit. Mm-hmm. And if you read Adam Schefter's report, no shade at Schefty, I'm sure it was what he was told and everything like that. The one question that I kept coming back to reading that report that, you know, he's distanced himself from the organization, which, by the way, nothing this offseason has really distanced himself from the organization outside of maybe scraping his social media, but that's a tactic as old as time. Like, everybody does that that's in the contract year. Everybody does. And so everything else is just about what he believes he's worth and the fact that he wants a new deal. And I don't think that that was surprising. And to me, the most important line that we heard from James Cook today was what I always thought was going to be the motivation for coming, and he likes his money,
yeah.
Right? Like $105,000, you know, going into a season to take that hit on day one, to me, just wouldn't make a lot of sense. And I've always found James, even though that he's not the most talkative guy, he is a big team guy. Like, he views himself as a leader. He went as far as to say that today, that the reason he's out here and practicing, because he could have done like a hold in or whatever, is because he feels that he's a leader in the locker room. And I think that that speaks to that. And I don't think anything this offseason he said, outside of saying that he wants to get paid, which I think he deserves to get paid. Like, if somebody's going to give him a contract worth $15 to $20 million per season, that's great. And maybe he'll get that when he does hit the free agent market. I just don't know that the Bills organizationally are at a place to be able to give that kind of money at that position. But that doesn't mean that they wouldn't like to give it or that they don't want him a part of things. I think they do. They do. It's just going to have to make sense for both sides. And I don't think they could spend at that number at that position with their quarterback making $60 million per season.
Matt, you asked the question, is this throughout the course of the season, James going to be a distraction? He says, no, it's not. Here's my question for you. Where are the negotiations still going to be ongoing? Are they going to be paused? Do you think there's still a window here, but maybe we get to the beginning of the season and the two sides do reach an agreement?
There is a window. There's a window all the way up until, you know, probably right before the start of the season. That's usually when Brandon locks things down and, you know, they want guys to be able to focus on the season and take that kind of out of it. So I think that there's, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if James's representatives are around this week if they pop up to training camp and maybe a couple more conversations over the course of the offseason. But the sense that I get is that these two sides are not close enough to what would make me think a deal would get done. Now, go back a couple of offseasons, right? Like, Matt Milano was as good as gone. I mean, nobody thought the Bills were going to be able to get him at the right number. Everybody thought it was going to be this unfortunate situation where they just had to move on, but they found a way to make a deal, and they found a way to find the right number. Now, I think Matt Milano took less in that scenario than he probably was going to get on the free agent market. I don't think Cook is in a place where he feels he's going to get less. So I think that that's going to be what ultimately doesn't get a deal done.
I agree, and it's fair to wonder if the Bills made an offer to James Cook when they were handing out deals to Khalil Shakir, Greg Rousseau, and everybody else. I'm wondering what you think that number was and what a number could be that may lure James Cook into staying in Buffalo. I don't know that that number exists below $15 million, but our friends Jeremy and Joe in Buffalo were throwing around 3 years $11 million per, 3 years, $33 million. Would that be something that would entice James Cook to stay in Buffalo?
I don't think so, because, and I wouldn't be surprised if they did throw that number at him at some point this offseason. Like, I think at $11 million, like, if you really think there's room to grow in terms of his ability as a pass blocker, in the passing game, getting him on the field a little bit more than the 45% that he played last year, then yeah, like, I think that it's worth it, because in the biggest game of your season last year, he was the second best player on offense. And so for that, I think it's worth paying up to a certain number at a position that the top of the market just ended up being 20. So if you're landing in almost $10 million less than that, it makes sense. But if I'm James Cook and I think that I'm going to put up a similar season to this one, I think somebody will pay him. I mean, Gabe Davis got $18 million per season a couple of years ago, which I thought was a gross overpayment. But there are teams that make those kinds of choices. And I don't necessarily think, even in the right situation, if Cook at 15 for a team that isn't paying their quarterback the money the Bills are paying Allen, if that's a bad choice by that organization, I just don't think the Bills are in a spot to do it.
Matt Perino, Shout Podcast, Syracuse Post Standard, our guest. One for me on more for me on James Cook, because if we're talking about running back rooms in the NFL top to bottom, some may say Tampa Bay, others may say a different team. I mean, I would put the Bills right up there with James Cook, Ty Johnson, and Ray Davis. And now that we have this kind of assurance that, all right, it's looking positive that everybody's going to be out there, health notwithstanding, what do you think about the snap counts here? Because James said all the right things here today, but I'm sure he'd like more than 44% of the snaps that he got last year. Or maybe not, Matt. Do you envision things kind of remaining the same in terms of how this running back trio was divvied up last season?
Yeah, the problem is, like, he's got to really gain trust of the coaching staff to be able to put him out there in spots where they need him to do multiple things. And if you remember, it wasn't so big of an issue last year, but he didn't have as many opportunities. There were some drop issues the first two seasons, like, that we talked quite a bit about. And so, you lessen the impact in the passing game. That's one of the big selling points that Bean had when they drafted him, was that, like, we see this guy as a real weapon in the passing game. And, like, he's been that at times, but he's also struggled. You know, if he's not able to pick up a blitz and he's not able to block in a way that you feel comfortable putting him in that spot, and Ty Johnson or Ray Davis does it better, then I don't see that number going up any bit more. And, like, the other piece of it too is, like, if you think James Cook, and I'm just speaking hypothetically here, I don't know how the Bills specifically view him, but if you think, all right, there's a ceiling on what he is, and the numbers, the inflated numbers touchdown-wise were more so because of the quarterback that he plays with and the offensive line and the offensive running game mind that's in there in Aaron Kromer, you think it's more based on that, then maybe you pull away some of those opportunities and you give some more opportunities to a Ray Davis who you're developing. And now the touchdown numbers aren't as explosive, and maybe that asking price comes down a little bit. I mean, it's a business at the end of the day, guys. Like, this is, like, everything changes. Business changes based on, like, results. And I'm be very interested to see how they divvy up the work between all of these backs. And listen, I don't think Frank Gore Jr. is getting himself into the mix, but I think he's looked really, really solid. If he ends up having a really good preseason as someone that, you know, we already know that there's a huge hype train around him from a fan perspective. Every time we have a practice, when we're doing one of our live shows, people want to know, how's Frank Gore Jr. doing? You know, there's been some real juice there at times. And so when you're developing players and you've had so much success developing players that spot, Darrington Evans, every time he gets into a game, he looks pretty good. That's going to be interesting how they divvy things up.
Do you get the impression that the franchise tag would ever be in play?
I don't. Again, because I just think that's a number that if you're willing to eat it for a season, you're probably willing to contractually get something done. Because, listen, there's not a lot of wear and tear on the tires of James Cook. Like, he was very much coming into the NFL as a guy that had not a lot of work at the college level. The carries, the catches, the snaps, they were all, you know, in a lower percentile. So I think that if you like the player and you're willing to give him a specific number for one season, you'd be willing to invest in that for multiple seasons. I don't think James Cook probably isn't even in the prime of his career yet. As crazy as that is to sound for a running back, he's probably entering it right now or maybe enter it last season. So I think if you're willing to hit that number, you're willing to come up with a, you know, a situation that puts the year one cap hit a little bit lower and maybe, you know, the guaranteed money, it's something that lets you get out of it a year or two down the line. This thing is going to be how this finally gets figured out. If it does get figured out, I should say, would be very interesting. Like the how many years, how much the number is. I don't see it getting done. I think that they let him go to free agency. And then it's like, then you put the onus. It's kind of what Joe Shane did in New York. It just got all the publicity because it was on Hard Knocks and it was Saquon and he went and won a Super Bowl. Guys, he wasn't going to be that player, that effective. He would be the effective player, but it wasn't the offense that was going to be able to have that type of success. They weren't built that way. And so I think the idea, the blueprint was sound in that let him go and see what he's worth. And if he's worth something you're not willing to pay, let him walk and you're going to get a comp pick back. But if you're James Cook and you don't have the market that you thought you'd have, well, do I want to go play for the Carolina Panthers, a hypothetical team, for $15 million per season, but there's low chance that I'm going to hit this number again in my second contract because I'm going to play for a low-level offense. There's all those little pieces to this decision.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Matt, you're setting me up for our next topic there. You brought up Carolina, and I thought the pipeline was long closed, but it's not. Shaq Thompson, okay, name we're familiar with, most of us, first-round pick 2015. You look at his numbers, they're not eye-popping, but what could he bring Buffalo? How would you assess his chances of making the final roster here, Matt?
I think more than anything, it provides a Josh Norman-like window into who Sean McDermott is for a lot of these players. Like, this is a guy that knew Sean as a defensive coordinator, that came up with him and really was one of the, along with Luke Kuechly, one of the guys that, like, is a Sean McDermott guy. So if you're Dorian Williams, to be able to kind of sit there and learn from this guy, and the Bills have done nothing at linebacker this offseason. They didn't draft anybody. They didn't bring anybody in as a free agent. They brought in a UDFA, I believe one. And so they're basically running back the same linebacker room that, if you get late in the season and, you know, Milano's hurt and Bernard's hurt, and now you have to rely on Joe Andreessen and Dorian Williams, who I think are a formidable duo, but no depth behind them. I think that Shaq Thompson is a guy coming off of an injury where you can kind of get him in your building, get him up to speed on everything, and he could be a really nice depth option down the stretch. He's not going to play. He's not going to start for them. He's not at the stage of his career where I think that would even be in the cards, knowing the injuries that he's dealt with. But as a guy that might have to play an A.J. Klein-like role in November, December, and January, I think the Bills would be ecstatic about having that kind of player in the room.
Matt, the bite that we let in with you on with Sean McDermott talking about young players earning the right to play, does that squash any narrative that exists about the Bills and Sean McDermott specifically not letting rookies on the field or not getting rookies on the field early in their career? I mean, when you look at what we have this year with a guy like Harrison, who's going to be competing to be on the field to start week one, is it fair to believe that Sean McDermott will give that shake to a rookie, even though he may not have the experience of a guy like Trey White?
It's a very fine line, I think, guys. Like, I think if you think back to Kyer Elam and why he didn't get on the field and you know, they split time and everything like that, I think that was actually, in hindsight, something that maybe I got wrong a little bit. That might have been just Sean trying to give him just a little bit of leeway to go out there and get some experience while not throwing him into the deep side of the pool, because we don't get to see what goes on behind the scenes. And so I think, which I think is very mature of Sean, is to not put a guy out there to get absolutely embarrassed or in a situation where they can't handle everything, where maybe you lose a little face in the locker room with your teammates. And he does have to answer to, not like for a Super Bowl contending team, not only does he have to answer to, you know, Terry Pegula and Brandon and everything like, I mean, he doesn't answer to Brandon, but, you know, in terms of that back and forth and that relationship, but the players are going to call him out on things if guys are out there that shouldn't be out there. So I think if Harrison can't get himself to that level, then it's almost like you're doing a disservice to the entirety of your defense if you put him out there. Now, I think one of the points that I have made is that they have to do a better job of getting guys that are ready. You know, they've done it a couple of times. I mean, Benford was an absolute home run as a sixth-round pick. Like, they got to find a way to, you know, onboard those kinds of guys quicker. And maybe it's just not a perfect system. It's not going to be something that every single time you're going to be able to get a guy in a spot to be able to produce right away. But with Harrison, it feels like you have to give him every opportunity, whether it be in training camp, whether it be – and another part of that, too, is, like, if I remember correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, Elam might have been banged up in training camp that first year. I don't think he missed a lot of time, but – whether or not it was a practice here or a practice there, that's something that, as an undersized player, Harrison's going to have to make sure that he's available. Cole Bishop, that took the train off the tracks for him last training camp, and it led to them just being comfortable giving the job to Mar Hamlin. And that's something that, if Harrison can stay on the field, I think that gives him the best chance to play and the best chance to prove to Sean that he can be trustworthy.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard Shout Podcast. I say this only half-jokingly, Matt. Did Sean McDermott violate a non-disclosure agreement today by admitting he attended the wedding of Josh Allen?
I think that was more of an unspoken pact amongst the bunch. Like, Deion Dawkins was kind of running off at the mouth there a couple months ago, gave the date and everything, and I think Josh had to kind of reel everybody back in a little bit, and everybody was kind of like smiling about it today. It's kind of a funny thing. It's a private moment, right? Like, it's something that, you know, he's a public figure. It's a very public wedding. But I think it's just something that, you know, as a group, they probably just got together and said, hey, let's keep this on the down low and just, you know, share it together type of thing.
So what did we hear from Josh Allen today? Because he was speaking, I think, as we were getting on the air, Matt. Any nuggets there? And I'm sure the wedding was brought up to him as well, that we see him now back at Mandatory Minicamp.
Yeah, he had the digital mapping crew out there today. He said that happens like three times per off season, where Chris Hess and his team come out, they set up the cameras in the field house, and all the quarterbacks go and they throw to all the different areas. And it, you know, we've talked about this several times, digitizes the mechanics and it gives feedback. And it's something that he was saying that, like, what'll happen a lot of times is when it's been a little while since he's had it done last, he notices things that are off in his mechanics and his throwing motion. And so he goes through that and it gives the immediate feedback and he's able to kind of like reset, recalibrate a little bit. And so that was kind of cool hearing him talk about that. You know, talked about like he made some mistakes today. He threw three interceptions during team drills today, which is very uncharacteristic of Josh in these situations. But I asked him, like, you've said this before, you take chances in these practices that you might not take in a game to see what works and what doesn't, to try to get on the same page, get things on film, and really break things down at a more specific level with your receivers. And he said, yeah, like you just want to see certain looks so that next time I see that look, maybe the chance that I took in that spot, I won't take again. So they're just in the lab right now. Like that's what this part of the offseason is for. Nice interception for Derek Forrest, who got some work today with DeMar Hamlin and Cole Bishop not participating. He looked really good out there today, and he's a guy that like I've been talking about. Like he fits the Jordan Poyer mold. Is a guy that had a cup of coffee with another team. Everybody that saw him practice and play in Washington raves about him. Same as Poyer. Babich has been kind of who was with Poyer in Cleveland, said all those same things about him. I think he's going to take a real run, if not at a job, because I think Bishop, as long as he can stay healthy, will win that job. But again, we're sitting here in mandatory minicamps, and Cole Bishop is already dealing with something. So something to watch.
Yeah. Matt, last one for me. Just asking you open-ended there. Anything we haven't asked you, other observations here from day one here of minicamp?
Well, Joe Andreessen, guys, was sensational today. This guy, I think he's a good football player. Yeah. Like it's like this story. Now, listen, it's OTAs. They're not in pads, but he's got an eye for the football that like I've been doing this now. This is my eighth season. So like when I watch practice, I'm never reactionary. I don't overreact to this kind of stuff. But what I think we have here from Andreessen is a body of work that now every time he's in a competitive situation, he finds a way to make a play. So he had an interception in 7-on-7 today. The pass breakup that he had on a ball to Josh Palmer today was the kind of reaction, quickness, and then playmaking that you just have to react to. Like that, he is an undersized middle linebacker who's making a play on the deep part of the field on the left sideline that you just don't see very often. I mean, I watched Tremaine Edmonds in camp for five seasons, and very few plays, you know, jumped off like that one did today. And so we'll see if he can continue it. But I think the reason the Bills have done nothing at linebacker this entire offseason is because of Joe Andreessen and because of Dorian Williams, and because if either one of those guys have to play behind Bernard and Milano, the Bills are fine with it and they're confident in it. And it continues to be a great story. It's one that it's all of the makings of a Disney movie, but I think behind all of it, there's a guy that can really, really play.
So Andreessen, then, this preseason, we can expect to see more of him and less of Milano and Dorian Williams, that he would get majority of the reps through the preseason?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm drinking some water.
Yeah, I like that.
Yes. Guys, can you think of a singular preseason performance? And again, a couple years there when I was in Vegas, I wasn't really watching the preseason games, so I can't really comment on that. But from the 8 years that I've been here, I cannot think of a singular game that was as elite as Joe Andreessen against the Steelers last preseason. I mean, against their ones, too, for most of it.
Yeah, good point. I guess the one that would stick out, but it's not quite on that level, Christian Wade running all over the place. But again,
that's in the third. That was great, but that was against third and fourth.
Yeah,
teamers. Second, but that was great.
Second half, certainly. Matt, you've been great here today on such a busy day. So lay out the schedule here for the next Shout podcast and what we can go read here. The Syracuse Post Standard coming up this week.
Yeah, we'll be live here in a few minutes once I get set up. Just drove home from the stadium. Well, full coverage at the site. James Cook spoke today. I'll have something on that up by tomorrow morning. I got a lot on the docket here. We got a podcast. We got to do the observations from practice. I got to go coach a Little League baseball game, and then eventually I'll get the James Cook story up as well. So we're locked and loaded. This is the last like sprint before the little break before training camp. So before you know it, guys, we'll be sitting back. I'll be watching you guys eat garbage plates and having an uneasy stomach and just watching, not partaking, because I've lived that life
already. Speak for yourself, man. Our intestines are made of steel. We can handle anything after eating that. After a steady diet of garbage, you think we're going to have intestinal discomfort? No way, pal.
Not at all, man.
No softness here, man. Enjoy your afternoon, man. Thanks for everything. Thank you for giving us the time.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
There's Matt Parrino. He's covering the Buffalo Bills at Syracuse.com. Read his work at the Syracuse Post-Standard and also the Shout podcast.
Okay, that was something I didn't expect. Joe Andreessen showing something.
Joe Andreessen will continue to be a preseason hero for the Buffalo Bills this preseason. I don't necessarily think that means we should see Joe Andreessen playing meaningful snaps in the regular season.
I would even advocate, does he need a spot on the 53? Like, you could put him on the practice squad and elevate
teams.
Him.
Yeah. I'm okay with him on special teams.
Yeah.
I'm fine with him on special teams. Even him being on special teams is a hell of a story for a guy who's as undersized as he is and being that he's a Buffalo guy. I think that Buffalo Joe will be another preseason hero and find himself working teams. But I think if Buffalo Joe is playing meaningful snaps in the regular season, something has gone horribly wrong for the linebacker position in the Buffalo Bills.
So is Matt working on the screenplay right now? Buffalo Joe. Like he's at home as a kid, a 10-year-old, watching terrible loss by J.P. Lossman.
That's the thing for writers, right? Yeah. Writers latch onto a good story, and then they write themselves a book about that story.
Yeah, you don't start 2 weeks ahead of time. You're going months, years into this. So, yeah, this would be the time to lay it all out.
All right, we'll get Brasky's take on today's mandatory minicamp practice. Alex Brasky of the Batavia Daily News, Bill's Digest, will be stopping by the sports bar here right around 4:25. We have more on the way next in the sports bar. Plenty of time for your calls at 866-4326. James Cook reporting to mandatory minicamp. We'll react and we'll share some other notes from today's practice in Orchard Park next on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.